The second reading, which will also serve as the sermon text for today, from Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths. Say only what is beneficial when there is a need to build up others, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of every kind of bitterness, rage, anger, quarreling, and slander, along with every kind of malice. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Therefore, be imitators of God as his dearly loved children, and walk in love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We hear again words of our epistle lesson. We'll focus this morning just on Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths. Say only what is beneficial when there is a need to build up others, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, words matter. We all know that saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a good thing to try to remember when we're the recipient of bad words from others, to try and minimize it and say it doesn't hurt. But we say that because the words really do hurt. The words really do have an effect. Words matter. That's why God points out so many times again and again in the pages of Scripture the importance of the words that we speak to each other. James, in his letter, speaks again and again about that need to protect our tongue, to watch the words that we speak. And Jesus himself teaches the same in the Gospels as he speaks again and again about the importance of the words that we speak to each other. But most importantly, we see that Jesus, our Savior, is the Word of God made flesh, who came to suffer and die for us, and rose again to give us his word of eternal life. That's why words matter. So today, the Apostle Paul invites us to understand that in our text, looking especially at this first verse of the text of the epistle lesson appointed for today, Ephesians 4, verse 29. Our words are so important, especially in the body of Christ, because we have been given this word made flesh to speak to each other, the communication of God's grace to us in Christ Jesus for the purpose of building each other up. So let us do that today. Build each other up with the words that we speak, with words of benefit and with words of blessing. The congregation in Ephesus was very dear to Paul's heart. He spent several years there ministering to that congregation. So as he writes this letter, he speaks full of love and care and compassion for the congregation. And as he did, he pointed out the beauty of the unity that exists among believers in the body of Christ. By our Savior Jesus Christ, those who were far away have been brought near, have been joined together into one body, one flesh, all with one head, Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, he really illustrated that point well, as we see that the Gentiles were joined together with Jews to be a household of faith together. So that there's no longer foreigners and aliens, but we're all fellow citizens of God's people, members of his household. What a blessing of God's grace that Paul pointed out to the Ephesians and that we see as well. And so he goes on in chapter 4, as we see, to discuss this function of the body of Christ. And he speaks of the blessed ministry, the function of apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers who've been given the gospel, the word of God, to communicate for the benefit of the body of Christ, that it may be strengthened and built up. He desires that body to be built up unified on that work of the Word of God, the Word of Christ. Three times in this chapter we see that word built up in chapter 4. Really, it's edification, the building up of the body of Christ. How? Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, as he said in chapter 2, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. How important that Word of God to build up the body of Christ is. Words matter. So Paul in this verse is pointing out a problem that was happening in the body of believers. Something that wasn't unique to the body of believers in Ephesus. It's common to all of us as Christians. The words that we speak that are damaging to each other's. Believers were tearing each other down with their words instead of building each other up. Words were being used to damage and to destroy rather than to strengthen, to hurt, to inflict pain. Paul writes, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths." Literally, that word for unwholesome, and this is how he begins. He says, the word that is rotten, don't let it be anywhere near your mouths, he says. Worthless words, don't let them proceed forth. He leads off in his description of the word that's being spoken as rotten, and it's comparable to like rotten fish or a rotten tomato that's lying on the ground. Could you imagine seeing a rotten fish on the side of the lake and saying, "That's the one I'm going to cook up for dinner"? You'd be disgusted by it. Or that tomato, "I'm going to put that in my sauce. That's disgusting. I wouldn't put that anywhere near my mouth." That's what Paul is saying about the words that we speak that are rotten. He says, those spoil. Those are rotten and awful. You don't want them anywhere near your mouth. You don't want them coming forth being spoken to others. Filthy. Disgusting. That's what Paul is saying about the words that are being spoken in the body of Christ to tear down. We wouldn't want them near our lips. Too often, those are exactly the types of words that are in our mouths, that are spoken to each other. How we speak about each other, even worse, to each other, with our words to tear down or destroy a relationship, a friendship, a reputation. So often we speak words that are full of spite, full of anger. We fire those words at each other because we want them to sting. We want them to hurt. How awful it is to have such words coming from our mouths to others. And so at times we're embarrassed by those words to speak them to the person. And so what do? We go behind the person's back to use those words to tear them down. And always, always those words to spoil the reputation of another are only used to build ourselves up, not building up the body of Christ. Or what is even worse, common so often in our culture today, to hide behind the comfort of a computer screen to fire off those words. We shield ourselves from the backlash of slinging such shameful words about others in our social media posts. Rotten things. Things that are posted meant to tear down and destroy a person. We're too happy to use those words that are rotten. That's why Paul begins with that encouragement, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths." But the word that came from the mouth of God is much different, an entirely different word. It's not rotten, but a word of benefit. Not bad, but a word of good. A word that was sent to build up rather than to tear down. A word that was meant to benefit rather than to destroy. Jesus, the Word made flesh, came forth from the mouth of God to give us the benefit, to fulfill what was the greatest need that ever existed for all of humanity. Literally, the words of this verse, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouths," rather, if something is good for building up of need. The Greek is kind of wooden, but the point is very clear. If there is a need that you have, use words that benefit and build up. Oh, how Jesus did that with his life. Fulfilled the greatest need of all. That the sins of anger and spite and bitterness, sins of attacking each other with words and even deeds, our Savior did exactly what we needed. He built us up before God, taking our sins upon himself. He died for those sins so that he could speak a good word, a word of benefit to the Father in heaven. What a good word he spoke for us on our behalf. What a benefit it is to us. It's an eternal benefit. Our reputation before God is one that is restored and clean and whole and perfect again. In our greatest need, standing before God, the judge of all, with our sins, Jesus spoke away those sins by his death on the cross. And he spoke away those sins by his word of good on our behalf. When Jesus said to God, "These are yours, they are good," so that we stand perfect before God by the good word of Christ. These are the words that Paul invites us to fill our mouths with for each other. Say only what is beneficial when there is need to build others up, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear. Words of blessing. What types of words would those be to fill our mouths with so that the body of Christ is built up regularly? They are words of grace. In fact, that's the word that he chose to describe this word of blessing. That's translated blessing. It's the word of grace, so that it will be a charis to those who hear. Charis, grace. Later on, he'll use that same root word of grace to describe the word of forgiveness that we speak to each other, just as Jesus spoke to us. Fill your mouths with this word of grace, of forgiveness. Let your conversation be about the grace of God to us in Christ. That's easy to do when we're here in church, isn't it? To have our mouths full of that word of grace. It's words that we spoke to each other already, even in the very confession of sins that we make. Not just what the pastor says to us, but what we say as we confess our sins before each other, with each other. Holy God, gracious Father. We call God the gracious Father because our mouths are full of the word of grace as we recognize who God is for us. And that word of grace and forgiveness fills our mouths throughout the service too as we speak about the forgiveness that we have from God and that then we speak to each other too. We do that when we confess our faith with a Nicene Creed, one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, being full of that word of grace to each other. As we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, full again of that word of grace as we speak of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. These are words of blessing to each other. It's just like Pastor Bilo's email post this week, which was a section of Pastor Behnken's comment, Professor Behnken's comments on worship. When we worship, we are proclaiming to each other these words of blessing of God. The words of grace of God, forgiveness to each other as we communicate one to another who God is, the gracious Father. What he does forgives our sins. With these words, you're building up the body of Christ as you worship and proclaim grace. It's easy to do for the body of Christ as we're gathered here in worship. But it's much harder to do when we leave these doors to speak that word of grace about each other. And yet we find many opportunities in our relationships with human beings, many, many times a need to speak that word of grace to one another, that word of "I forgive you." Because in our human relationships, so often, again, it's not just the words that we speak, but it's even the attitude that we have. God invites us to share the same attitude that we have for others that he has for us. And then he invites us to reflect that attitude in the words that we speak to each other, words of forgiveness. He wants that to be our attitude in our heart, a spirit of graciousness and forgiveness with each other. So we are to fill our mouths with the grace of God in love and forgiveness when we're at home with our families. So many opportunities to say, "I'm sorry and I forgive you," in our human relationships. And yet how often are the words that we speak a reflection of the attitude in our heart that isn't full of grace, isn't full of blessing for one another? To recognize that because God loves me, He also loves my fellow human being, especially within the body of believers. That shapes the way that I have an attitude. That changes the attitude toward the brothers and sisters in faith that I have in Christ. To speak words of blessing. To know that God blesses us as we leave this house at the end of every service to go home each week with His blessing. What a word. What a word that we have an opportunity to speak to one another again throughout the week. I go every week with an encounter with God to hear His blessing. So often, the words that I speak to each other throughout the week are not words of blessing, of grace and peace. Speak those words to each other. Those words matter. They build up the body of Christ. This body that does wrong again and again. This body that often with words do more damage to each other than good to itself. This body that inflicts pain and hurt, self-inflicted wounds in the body of Christ with words that speak to each other that are rotten or decayed. Instead, we have an opportunity to speak with words of forgiveness for that hurt, with words of forgiveness for that damaging talk, with words of forgiveness that heals and restores that relationship in the body of Christ. You have the blessing of Christ. You have the love of Christ in your relationship with each other. You have grace and peace and blessing of Christ in His forgiveness. In this text, God urges us to speak these words of blessing as you build up the body of Christ with words, recognizing how those words matter. So speak words of benefit and words of blessing to each other. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.